This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation pop experience. We're almost there. The finish line is in sight. We have one more finalist to crown tonight here on PTBN Trivia Night. Welcome. This is our third of three semifinal matches. We have two spots. Ryan Everett, Robert Hawkins have already claimed them. Who will claim the third? Let's find out tonight. But first, let me get my co-host in here to get the game and festivities underway. Jordan Duncan. Jordan, how you doing, man?
Just eating Korean pop band flavored nuggets.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Are they gochujang or lychee?
I can't tell if they're North Korean or South Korean. I can't tell if I like freedom or harsh dictatorships more right now. Let me take another bite. I'll weigh in later.
All right. And speaking of harsh dictatorships, our scorekeeper and our judge, luckily he was found alive in the woods after last week. The returning Michael Cook. Mike, how are you?
Well, if it was this week, man, I would have been dead with the way how hot it is out this way. I don't know what it's out there your way, Jordan, but it's been sizzlers out here.
Yeah, I got a nice pack in my crotch all day long, just to stay cool.
I was wondering like what you were going to try to do tonight. Like, you know, like, hey guys, I'm going to go swim across the Long Island Sound. I should be okay for the camp.
I started watching that show Alone, which had been on for a couple of years. But then when I heard about Cook getting lost on a hike, I'm like, there's wolves, bears, cougars. Who knows what might find him before we do.
Well, my daughter thought it was the funniest thing. But good thing I'm...
As we say around these parts, love them kids or FTK. Those who get that joke will understand that. All right. So, guys, we have one more spot to fill. I think we're gonna have a great game tonight. These guys all, you know, play tremendous in their qualifying games, and yeah, I think it's gonna be fun. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think looking at the questions, I think it's gonna be interesting, and it's really just gonna kind of come down to who gets hot. We learned last month or last week.
Yes, that wheelhouse really came into play in the last episode. So. All right, so let's get our contestants in here, and let's get it underway. All right, first off, he is the winner of our 90s episode. He is also the co-host of one of our, actually a couple of shows. Here on the Pop Experience, It Was a Thing on TV, Into the Spidey Movieverse, Greg Diener. Greg, welcome to the semifinals.
Oh, thank you very much, Andy. It's certainly exciting. To quote Ellie Gante, I want the belt.
Well, we wish you the best of luck tonight.
All
and
right.
Hope you do well. Also joining us, he is the winner of our Marvel-themed episode, coming to us from the great state of Kentucky once again, Ashley Cruz. Ashley, welcome to the semifinals.
Thank you guys for having me back. Hoping on having a great show tonight.
Yep, wish you best of luck as well. And rounding out our contestants tonight, this guy, he was the winner of our classic movies episode. No stranger to shows on this feed on the Place to Be Nation Wrestling Network, the North-South Connection, and the Jay Position. He appears all over the place. Jay, Arsenio, D'Amato, Johnny, welcome to the semis.
Yes, thank you, and I hope it'll be another classic night.
Yes.
Yep.
It
for somebody.
Is.
For somebody. Not necessarily me, but for somebody. I'll pay it forward.
There you go. All right. Johnny always gives the good vibes no matter what. Win or lose or mm-hmm. draw. All right. So you guys have all been here before and played the game. But again, we say this. If anybody stumbles upon our 11th of 12 episodes, let's explain how we play the game. Jordan.
Yeah, so we play the game in four rounds. It's a trivia game, but it's not first answer, shout it out. That would be a total mess doing it by podcast. Each contestant gets their own set of questions. So for four rounds, there's three sets of questions in each round. First three rounds are themed. The final round is a lightning round. And you each get 10 questions. They are broken up by difficulty. There's three easy questions. How many points are those worth, Andy?
One.
There's three medium difficulty questions. Andy, how much are those worth?
Three.
There's three hard questions. Andy, how much are those worth?
Five.
And the last question we ask you, we consider to be a very hard question, and that is worth how many points, Andy?
Seven.
7 points if you get the very, very hard question. And we have gotten a few very hard questions correct in this tournament. A lot of them are wrong because they are very hard. But at the end of each round, we'll tally up the points. And at the end of the night, whoever has the most points wins. That's pretty much how we do it.
Yeah, and like I say, I've said to everybody who says sometimes that the games seem hard, we're giving away a belt, people. This is not – and it wasn't cheap exactly. You know, it's a custom job. And it displays our lovely logo of our show. And on the side in the plates are the feed logo of the Pop Experience, the very feed that hosts this show. So, yeah, it's a great prize on the line. And I like I said, I'm kind of envious that I have to give it away. I don't have the opportunity to win it, although I could buy another one. But I'm not going to do that. I think it should be earned. All belts should be earned, I think.
It is official, though. The belt will be staying on this continent.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Unfortunately, our good friend from Scotland, Callum, did not win. Although I pulled for him, Callum is great. I would have gladly paid the shipping had he advanced and went on to win. But unfortunately, no.
Andy says he'd gladly pay the shipping, I'm just picturing Stone Cold chucking a belt into the river.
Callum McNugle, Scotland, on it, yeah. And throw it in the Atlantic. Yep. Hope it makes it there sometime. Ever. All right, so, guys, so we're here to play. We're going to have a lot of fun, and let's get going with the first game. And, Jordan, what is our first game?
Yeah, so our first game, guys, if you've listened to our first two semifinal episodes, you might have clued in on what it was, because our first semifinal, our first round, was about Famous First. Our second semifinal was about Famous Duos. So for our third semifinal, our first round category is Trios. All the questions are about Famous Threesomes or trios. Trios, Johnny, not threesomes. Let's focus on the trios there. 10 questions about famous trios in the world of pop culture. There's 90 seconds for each of you. First answer you give is the one we have to take. Of course, you can pass and come back to your question. So our first round, all about famous trios. Andy, who's going first?
All right. It is J. Arsenio D'Amato. Johnny, you're the first one up tonight.
Jordan, how did you know I got a rise when I heard that?
Well, it is the semi-final.
Yes.
Semi.
I know. I cringe when I said, welcome to the semi. I'm like, oh, I got a semi. Oh.
All right, Andy. I'm going to make a promise that I probably won't be able to keep, but I'm going to try to make sure you don't have to do too much editing tonight. So. I'm going to try to work clean. I'm going to try to work clean.
We'll see.
Yeah, listen, we had a pre-show bet.
If you want to try, go ahead. But if you don't, I don't think anybody will be upset. All right,
your best.
Johnny, you got 10 questions. You know how this works, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, Mr. Cook, you ready with the clock?
Ready to go.
Keep it fair, Mikey. Keep it fair.
All right, the clock will start when I finish the first question. And here's the first question of the night. Good luck to everyone. And Mr. D'Amato, good luck to you. First question. Larry, Moe, and Curly are famously known by what name?
Three Stooges.
What is the last name of the brothers who make up the Bee Gees?
Gibb.
What fairy tale trio famously makes homes out of sticks, straw, and brick?
The Three Little Bears?
What professional wrestler appeared in a sequel to Three Ninjas?
Hulk Hogan.
The Hanson brothers played for what hockey team in Slapshot?
Charlestown Chiefs.
Clint Eastwood stars in this 1966 Western about three gunmen hunting for
good,
treasure.
The Bad and the Ugly.
The Twilight novel and movie series focuses
pass.
What military branch did Jack Tripper from Three's Company serve in?
Navy.
Name the three actresses who played in the 2000 movie release of Charlie's Angels.
The movies. Drew Barrymore and two other lovely ladies. Pass.
All right. What was the last single released by Destiny's Child to reach number one on the U.S. charts?
Pass.
All right. Go back to the Twilight.
Drew Barrymore, Lucy Liu, and... all right, Destiny's Child, all the ladies.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. Unless you want to take a stab at the Twilight one, the love crying.
Drew Barrymore, Lucy Liu, and son of a.
Can't do it. Hey, not a bad start though.
No, it was a good start, Johnny. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go through the answers and let you know how you did. Larry, Moe, and Curly are the Three Stooges. The brothers Gibb make up the Bee Gees. You got that right. The trio that made their homes of sticks, straws, and brick were the Three Little Pigs, not the Three Little Bears.
The Bears, damn.
The Bears, yes. You had Hulk Hogan did appear in the sequel, The Three Ninjas. The Charlestown Chiefs, where the Hanson brothers played for that team in Slapshot. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is the Clint Eastwood 1966 Western about three gunmen hunting for treasure. The Twilight novel and movie focuses on a love triangle between what three characters, Edward, Bella, and Jacob? The military branch did Jack Tripper served in on Three's Company? The Navy. Was that a guess, John?
No. Let's just say I knew that. I'm a big fan.
All right. The three actresses who played in the 2000 release Charlie's Angels, Drew Barrymore, Lucy Liu, and Cameron Diaz.
Son of a...
Yeah. The last single released by Destiny's Child to reach number one on U.S. charts was Bootylicious with a score of 16. Yeah. That's a very, very good score for the first round.
Cameron Diaz. Damn. Okay.
All right. Pretty respectable start. A lot of times people start slow on here, so to put the pressure on right away, D'Amato's out to the lead. But Andy, tell us who's going next.
So far, so good, Andy. He said, I was dying to say Drew Barrymore and two other something else's.
Yeah, I was sitting here like, I got a little sweat on my MacBook. Yeah, I'm like, what is he going to say? What's he going to say?
I made it through one round. My promise is in.
One down, three to go.
All right. There's always hope. We'll give you the Miss Congeniality Award, okay? At least. All right. Ashley is next in our first round.
All right, Mr. Cruz, are you ready to play?
Yes, let's do it.
All right. Are we ready with the clock?
We're good to go.
Okay. Clock starts when I finish the first question. Here's your first question, Ashley. Name Donald Duck's nephews.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Snap, Crackle, and Pop are mascots for what cereal?
Rice Krispie Treats.
What do the Scarecrow, Tin Man, and Lion request from the Wizard of Oz?
Brains, heart, and courage.
Which Shakespeare play features three sisters who are witches?
The Tempest.
Alvin, Simon, and Theodore are singing chipmunks who are raised by what human?
George.
What house do Ron, Hermione, and Harry all get sorted into in the Harry Potter series?
Hufflepuff.
The Hanson brothers, who sang the song Mmbop, hail from what state?
Arizona.
Alec Baldwin, Harrison Ford, and Ben Affleck have all played what fictional movie character?
Pass.
Former Jeopardy champions Ken Jennings, Brad Rutter, and James Holzhauser currently appear on what game show?
Pass.
Sonic the Hedgehog formed a video game trio with Tails and Knuckles. What type of animal is Knuckles?
Hedgehog.
All right, go back to Alec Baldwin, Harrison Ford, and Ben Affleck all played this same time. Okay.
That was a tough round. Yeah, that was tough. Sometimes it's just, you know, the luck of the draw and what questions you get. But, you know, there's still a lot of game to be played. Yep. Let's run through them, though. Name Donald Duck's nephews. You got that one right. Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Rice Krispie Treats are what Snap, Crackle, and Pop are the mascots for. The Scarecrow, Tin Man, and Lion request a brain, a heart, and courage. Now, here's where you got stumbled a little bit. The Shakespeare play that features three sisters who are witches was Macbeth. The Alvin and Simon Theodore are singing chipmunks that are raised by Dave Seville. The house that Ron, Hermione, and Harry are going to is Gryffindor. The Hanson brothers from Oombop hail from Oklahoma. Harrison Ford, Ben Affleck, and Alec Baldwin have all played Jack Ryan. Ken Jennings, Brad Rutter, and James Holzhauer appear on The Chase. And Sonic the Hedgehog formed a game trio, video game trio with Tails and Knuckles. What type of animal is Knuckles? Jordan, I have no idea what this is.
I believe it's pronounced an echidna, which is basically an anteater of sorts.
Okay. For a grand total of 3 points. Yep. So, yeah, like I said, there's lots more game to be played.
Yep. I mean, if you listen to the second semifinal episode, our winner was behind after two rounds, and he came back, stormed back to win.
Yeah, actually. Like literally almost got a perfect score on his wild card.
Mm-hmm. Sure did. So, all right. So if Johnny and Ashley went, that must mean Greg is up last here.
Oh, I so wish I got that Chase question and would nail it.
You know, as I was reading the question, I'm like, oh, who was it in our chat that mentioned game shows? Was it Ashley?
Well, so. I cover them at least once a month. So
gotcha. Chase is a good show. But all right. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Mr. Cook, are you ready with the clock?
All set.
Okay. The clock will start when I finish your first question. Good luck, Greg. Here's your question. Steve Martin, Chevy Chase, and Martin Short star together in what comedy?
The Three Amigos.
Athos, Porthos, and Aramis make up what famous trio?
Pass.
What three ingredients are needed to make a BLT?
Bacon, lettuce, and tomato.
Which of the Marx Brothers was famous for never speaking?
A Horpo.
Rap group Salt and Peppa became a trio when you add in would become a trio when you add in their DJ. What is their DJ's name?
Pass.
Who outduels Inigo Montoya, outwrestles Fezzik, and outsmarts Vizzini?
Repeat the question.
Who outduels Inigo Montoya, outwrestles Fezzik, and outsmarts Vizzini?
Pass.
Name the actress who played Charlie's Angels in the 2019 movie release.
Oh, Naomi Scott. Pass.
Who is the archenemy of the Powerpuff Girls?
Pass.
Name the three tenors.
Pass.
30
where
seconds.
Where do Blake, Anders, and Adam work in the TV
Pass.
Show Workaholics? All right, back up to Athos, Porthos, and Aramis.
Pass.
Make up. Okay. Salt and Peppa's DJ.
Spinderella.
Who outduels Inigo Montoya?
Pass.
Okay. The Charlie's Angels
Kristen
movie.
Kristen Stewart, Naomi Scott, Ella Balinska.
All right. The archenemy of the Powerpuff Girls.
Pass.
The three tenors.
Pavarotti.
Time.
That's about how I would answer that. Pavarotti.
Yeah. I knew two of them. Even
Domingo and the other guy.
I would have known Domingo,
too. Remember the Seinfeld, the other guy.
The other guy.
Enrico Palazzo. No, it wasn't that. Okay. we'll run through them and give you a score.
It's Enrico Palazzo.
Enrico Palazzo. Anyway. All right. Here we go. Steve Martin, Chevy Chase, and Martin Short are the Three Amigos. Athos, Porthos, and Aramis make up the Three Musketeers. You need bacon, lettuce, and tomato to make a BLT, of course. Harpo is the Marx brother that was famous for never speaking. DJ Spinderella spinned him up one time for Salt and Pepper. He outdueled Inigo Montoya, outwrestled Fezzik, and outsmarted Vizzini. Morons. Inconceivable. That was the Dread Pirate Roberts, a.k.a. Wesley, in The Princess Bride. You got this one right, though. The 2019 Charlie's Angels were Kristen Stewart, Naomi Scott, and Ellen Balinska. Mojo Jojo is the arch enemy of the girls. Luciano Pavarotti, Placido Domingo, and Jose Carreras are the three tenors. And Blake, Anders, and Adam work at TeleAmeriCorp in Workaholics. So you got a score of 13. So, yeah, we have a very a good game. So at the end of one round, J.R. Arsenio D'Amato is in the lead with 16, Greg Diener with 13, and Ashley Cruz with 3. So, guys, there is a lot of game to be played, though. So let's talk about, before we get to continue on to round two, let's talk about what's going on here on the PlayStation Pop Experience. Great shows. We're actually in the middle not in the middle, but it just started our pilot season. Yes, last summer we did it. It was my first year running the feed, and this year I decided to do it again. So from now until Labor Day, if you have a pitch, you have an existing pod like Greg does and want to bring it onto our feed and get yourself more exposure, you have an idea, you want to be a guest on a show, anything, just you want to be involved, let us know. Myself and Miranda, we run the feed, and we'll be more than happy to bring you on and see what you got. So let's talk about what you can hear right now on this very feed. We have Greg's show. It was a thing on TV. It was a twin pack of episodes for Now You See It and Thunder in Paradise. So a must listen there. The NBA team continues on looking at the 2021 playoffs with their second round preview. Blockbuster Rewind returned with our movie for this month. I actually sat this one out. I am not a big horror movie fan. There are some like Scream and some zombie movies, but slasher films are not my thing. So Scott Criscolo, the Podfather, stepped in and guest hosted along with Eric Eales and Scott Shiflett, and they welcomed Jennifer Smith, and they covered the first four Friday 13th movies, as well as Battlestar the 25th Century. That is Sean Kidd bringing his apprentice Scott Shiflett through some of the great sci-fi shows of the late 70s and early 80s. Pop Goes the Classics returned with myself, Miranda, and Steve. We covered 1967's Jungle Book. That is our series where we go through the animated Disney classics in order. Pop Goes to the Couch concluded with the Mighty Ducks Game Changers. Greg was on that, and well as Johnny with our good friend Grudy. You guys did a tremendous job. Thank you for that. I really enjoyed the show, and I would be lying if I didn't say I teared up at the end of that season finale.
Oh yeah.
Hopefully it comes back for another season.
Oh, yeah. And I guess we're renewed for season two. Okay. Send the contracts over.
I'll sign the papers.
You guys were already signed to 3 years. You didn't read the fine print.
Oh.
Well, it's a club option, though. And also, speaking of Pop Goes to the Couch, Loki, the day we're recording it, Loki launched today. I really enjoyed that. So the crew that does that, that's myself, Scott Shiflett, Sean Kidd, and Tim Capel. We will be back with our coverage of that series starting next week. Making Mount Rushmore, we had Summertime Songs and Road Trip Songs. That was myself, Calvin Crowell, and Steve Bennett. So, yeah, guys, lots of Piece of the Action had their celebrated 1 year anniversary. That was a group watch. That was Matt, joined by Sean Kidd, Ben Locke. I think Logan and Jenny were on that show. They watched Die Hard with a Vengeance. So, lots of great stuff here going on the PlayStation Pop experience. So, let's reset, though, where we're at on this game. We have J.R. Sunil D'Amato in the lead with 16. We have Greg Diener with 13 and Ashley Cruz with 3. Guys, 34 points per round. You know, you could go on a run and be in this game or take a commanding lead. So, like Jordan said before we started our first game, if you listen to the first two semifinals, we did a round on awards shows. Since you guys are going for an award here tonight, we did the Oscars, then we did the Emmys. Now, we had thought about doing the Grammys, but we decided to go a little different, and we went with the VMAs, the Video Music Award.
I was hoping for the Slammys, damn.
Yes, the Slammys, the ESPYs, those were all in consideration, but in the end, we went VMAs. So, all the questions are about that award show on MTV. So, Jordan, who is first up in this round?
We are going to have Ashley go first this time.
All right. Ashley, are you ready to go?
As ready as I'll ever be.
Yeah, so look at the draw. Hey, look, if you know music, if you know pop culture, you don't have to know at VMAs. It's like when we did the Emmys, it was like, you didn't necessarily have to know the Emmys, it's television. I mean, some of this could be just stuff that just happened at the VMAs that was in the popular thing. So good luck. Just do your best and we'll see what happens. All right, Mike, do we have 90 seconds on the clock?
All set.
All right, here we go. Clock will start when I finish the first question. What year was the first VMAs held?
1987.
Who fondled Lil' Kim's breast at the 1999 VMAs?
Pass.
Who closed out the 2003 VMA show?
Eminem.
At the 1997 VMAs, who was the member of the Foo Fighters that announced he was leaving the band halfway through their performance?
Pat Smear.
At the 2003 ceremony, what three female singers locked lips during a shocking performance?
Pass.
Lady Gaga's gown for the 2010 show was made of how many pounds of meat?
50.
Who spit on Elton John's piano thinking it belonged to Axl Rose at the 1992 VMAs?
30 seconds.
Yes.
Who are the only artists to win the most earth-shattering collaboration award in 2007, the only year it was called that?
Pass.
Who said "This World is Bullshit" while accepting the Best New Artist Award at the 1997 VMAs?
Fiona Apple.
How many award categories have been discontinued?
5.
All right, back up to who followed Lil' Kim's breast at the 1999 VMAs?
Nicki Minaj. I don't.
It was a good guess. Right. Actually, you didn't do that bad.
Better than last time, yeah.
Yeah.
You're improving. You added to that score. All right, let's talk about how we did. What year was the first VMAs held? You went 87. The correct answer is 84. So close, but no cigar there. This is one that I don't think I could have guessed in a million years, Andy. Who fought a little kid's breast at the 1999 VMAs? Diana Ross? Really?
Yes.
Nicki Minaj seems more likely to me.
I don't think Nicki Minaj was a thing in
1999. Yeah, she might have been maybe 6-7 years old. who closed out the 2003 VMAs? Eminem, good guess, but it was actually Metallica. Then you got some points here. At the 97 VMAs, the member of the Foo Fighters that announced he was leaving the band halfway through the performance was Pat Smear. The 2003 ceremony, three female singers who kissed were Madonna, Britney Spears, and Christina Aguilera. You got this one. Was this a guess? Lady Gaga's gown did weigh 50 pounds. 50 pounds of meat. Was that just a total ballpark guess there?
Yes, it was just a good guess.
Yes. I mean, a nice ballpark, perfect, right. Hit it out. Who spit on Elton John's piano thinking it belonged to Axl Rose at the 92 VMAs? I can see why you confuse Elton John with Axl Rose. It was Kurt Cobain that did that. The only artist to win the award for most earth-shattering collaboration in 2007 was Beyoncé and Shakira for the song Beautiful Liar. Then you got this hard one right for 5 points. Fiona Apple is the one who accepted their Best New Artist Award in 97 by saying "This world is bullshit." So nothing but sunshine and lollipops from her. And there have been 27 discontinued award categories in VMA history. But you got 11 points. Right. So that'll put you into a nice little comfortable spot heading into round three.
There you go. All right. Hey, shout out to Boneheads. They're actually on the show I'm watching right now on the Cookie Channel. Oh, cool. All right, so Greg, you are up next.
Yeah. Yep. dreading this.
All right. Are you ready, sir?
Yeah.
All right, Mike, do we have the clock ready?
We're set.
All right, clock will start when I finish the question. Who were the hosts of the first VMAs?
Bette Midler and Dan Aykroyd.
Who said "I'm too drunk for this" while accepting an award at the 2002 VMAs?
Pass.
What year did Britney Spears perform "I'm a Slave for You" with a white Burmese python around her neck?
2001.
What two performers had a twerk fest at the 2013 ceremony?
Miley Cyrus and Robin Thicke.
At what year ceremony did Eminem challenge Moby to a fight?
2000?
Who has won the highest number of awards at the VMAs?
Pass.
Who interrupted REM's acceptance award in 1994?
Say it again.
Who interrupted REM's acceptance speech for an award in 1994?
The Beastie Boys.
Who mooned the audience at the 2000 VMAs?
Pass.
30 seconds.
In 2004, what game won the Best Video Game Soundtrack Award?
GTA San Andreas.
Fort Minor won what award in 2006?
Pass.
Back to who said "I'm too drunk for this" while accepting an award at 2002 VMAs?
Pink.
Who has won the highest number of awards in VMA history?
Madonna.
Who mooned the audience at the 2000 VMAs?
Pass.
Okay. Hey, I don't know what you were dreading there. That was a pretty solid run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about what he did. Mm-hmm. Got the easy ones. Host of the first VMAs was indeed Dan Aykroyd and Bette Midler. Then you came back around to this one and got it right. Who said I'm too drunk for this while accepting an award for the 2002 VMAs? That was Pink. We also would have accepted Chad Gamble. What year did Britney Spears perform I'm a Slave for You with a white Burmese python around her neck? You very proudly shot at 2001. I'm guessing you were at just the right age for that.
Oh, yes, I was. I was 17 when that happened.
All right.
Very that, formative moment in my youth.
That has blazed into your mind for many, many years. What two performers had a twerk fest at the 2013 ceremony? Got that one right. Miley Cyrus and Robin Thicke. Eminem challenged Moby to a fight in 2002. Just a little off there. The artist with the highest number of awards won is Beyonce with 21 awards. We'll give him this one. He said the Beastie Boys interrupted REM's acceptance award in 84. It's specifically Adam of the Beastie Boys, but he is part of the Beastie Boys, so we'll give it to you. Marlon Wayans mooned the audience at the 2000 VMAs. That's surprising. Is that with when Howard Stern was Fartman or something like that?
No, maybe? That's no Fartman was like 92.
Okay. 2004 video game that won Best Video Game Soundtrack was actually Tony Hawk's Underground. And Fort Minor won the award for ringtone of the year. So you got the same amount of points as Ashley. You got 11 as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Very good. Yeah. Madonna did hold that record till only a couple of years ago. And then Beyonce had passed her. So it was a very good guess there. Yeah. All right, John. We've talked about this on Year in Pop quite a bit. So hopefully you remember some things. Well, not every question is going to be in that range, but here we go. All right, so are you ready, sir?
Yeah, as ready as I can be.
That's some dread in your
Listen, that's what everybody's saying, and we got 11 points both guys so far. So,
All right. Mike, we got 90 seconds on the clock.
We're good.
All right, here we go. Who interrupted Taylor Swift's acceptance speech at the 2009 VMAs?
Kanye West.
Who said getting your penis caught in your zipper is what got you here to his son during the opening monologue of the 98 VMAs?
Ben Stiller.
What 2 years did Chris Rock host the VMAs?
Chris Rock, 2006 and 2009.
Who won the most awards at the first VMAs?
Madonna.
What group won Best New Artist at the 1985 VMAs?
Duran Duran.
The award for quadruple threat of the year was given out only once in 2007. Who won it?
Kanye West.
What two bandmates got into a fight backstage at the 91 VMAs?
Was it Brett Michaels and CC DeVille?
What song's video is the most awarded of all time with 9?
What was the award again? Repeat, please.
What song's video was the most awarded of all time with 9 wins?
Sledgehammer?
Name the only 4 women to host the VMA solo.
Okay.
Who climbed the scaffolding on the set of the 2000 VMAs?
Don.
All right. Wow, this is...
Yeah, pretty interesting.
This is the first time this has happened in history.
Yep.
I went back and looked. Yeah, first time.
All right. So let's talk about how Johnny did. Who interrupted
What happened in history? What happened in history?
Oh, well, I'll reveal at the end here. Taylor Swift was interrupted by Kanye West, who wanted to point out that Beyonce had one of the best albums of all time. Mm-hmm. You were on the right track with this one. Who said getting your penis caught in your zippers what got you here to his son? His
Terry son was Stella, Ben Stiller. You fuckface. Yep. bitter bastard.
Yep. The 2 years Chris Rock hosted was 99 and 03. The most awards won at the first VMAs was Herbie Hancock with 5 awards, believe it or not.
Had I missed that one? Come on. Right.
If you saw Tommy Boy, he knows to guess Herbie Hancock.
John Hancock. It's Herbie Hancock.
Amazing.
Best new artist at the 85 VMAs, Till Tuesday. That one didn't. They lasted till about Tuesday.
Yeah, that didn't carry. The voice didn't carry here.
Yeah. The quadruple threat of the year in 2007 was Justin Timberlake. Then you got these next two right. The bandmates they got in a fight were Brett Michaels and CeCe DeVille from Poison. And you were right on this next one as well. Sledgehammer is the song with the most awarded video of all time. 9 awards it won. The only four women to host the VMA solo you passed, but one of them was your favorite, Roseanne Barr, John.
Oh.
The other three are Chelsea Handler, Miley Cyrus, and Katy Perry. And then this last one, believe it or not, this is the closest I would probably ever come to getting a very, very hard question right. Who climbed the scaffolding during the 2000 VMAs? I knew it was a guy from Rage Against the Machine. I didn't know the name. His name was Tim Comerford. But
if you said Rage Against the Machine, we would have given it to you.
Yeah. But since you didn't get that one, you wound up with 11 points, which means for the first time in this tournament, all three of you got the exact same score that round. All three got 11.
Okay. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
That's a good thing. Yeah. Actually, I'm reading this book, Nothing But a Good Time, about 80s heavy metal and, you know, hair bands. So that's when
That's why you should read out there, kids. It's very important.
Yeah, read books. Yeah, read stupid books about 80s rock bands. Nothing educational. That's me. Read books about that, wrestling, and
hey, it's got you this far, right, Johnny?
Yep.
All right, so
he's in the lead right now.
At the end of two rounds, halfway through our game, we got J. Arsenio D'Amato in the lead with 24, with 27, Greg Diener with 24, and Ashley Cruz with 14. So, guys, yeah, we have a great game going here, and very excited about the next round. But before we get there, Jordan, I know this is all you ever want to do every episode, but please tell us what's going on across the hall at the Place Nation Wrestling Network.
Actually, when you first asked me to be on the show, I requested this is the only part I could do. I didn't even want to do the rest of the show. But
I just want to do the wrestling feed read.
Yeah,
I just
want to read the feed updates. So. First and foremost, before you listen to any of these episodes, go ahead and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation Wrestling podcast feed, as well as all these other feeds we're going to talk about tonight. Subscribe. Also, if you wouldn't mind leaving a review and a rating, that helps kind of bump it up on the search for people who maybe have never heard of Place to Be or North South or the Jenny Position or anything like that. The better ratings and reviews kind of puts that up there for people just searching wrestling or pop culture, things like that. But you can listen to us on pretty much anything. But here's some of the stuff going on. Little peek behind the curtain. I don't know what day you're listening to this. We are recording this on June 9th. There's already 8 podcasts in the month of June on the wrestling feed. There is so much content for you. Let's go back and just talk about what we've got in June. Talking WCW had their 20th episode, and they finally, I know people have been asking about this, when they finally are talking about Lex Luger, where Greg and Tim and Jenny all pick a match from the career of Lex Luger and discuss it and discuss him. Highway to the Impact Zone has their 26th episode where Logan, Jake are watching the Impact episodes from January 21st and 28th, and they got Ben Locke in there with them. That's the 26th episode of that. NWA Crockett and Roll number 17. Before they were Crockett, I think this is a cool concept. They're taking Crockett guys and finding matches from before they were in the Crockett promotions. On the latest episode, they look at some matches from Buzz Tyler, Buzz Sawyer, Dusty Rhodes, Dick Slater. These guys feel like they were Crockett forever, so to find stuff before that must be pretty tough. Billy Jack Haynes, Ric Flair, Jimmy Valiant, and Paul Jones. So a pretty cool little dig to find some really hard-to-find stuff on NWA Crock and Roll. On the NWA Saturday Special, Scott and Dr. G preview the upcoming pay-per-view, When Our Shadows Fall, for NWA Power. Pro Wrestling Love number 28 is here with the best of WWE 2010 to 2014, the third part of that series. Kind of a cool little time period that doesn't get talked about a whole lot on podcasts. And then, of course, Scott and the Doctor are back with the reaction show to the NWA When Our Shadows Fall pay-per-view. We've got a couple other episodes. Row 1, Seat 1, episode 54, John Mosley and Ron Bass Jr., are welcome to the show, and we talk about that. And the last one you can listen to, and then of course you can go to the back catalog and the mothership and main event and all kinds of stuff to listen to. But there's a new episode of Senior Video number 15, Shawn Michaels Hits from the Heartbreak Kid. Rory is back to root around his attic for the best and worst from the home video classic section that WWE Network has to offer. So get on the network, watch what he's watching, and take a listen, see if you agree with him. That's all you've got just this month on the Place to Be Wrestling feed. There's so much content. Go ahead and subscribe, take a listen, and come back for more.
And there's more stuff coming, new stuff every day on all the feeds.
Yep.
You know, seeing Row 1, Seat 1 come back is great, because what Ben does is he goes to these all these local small indie wrestling events and being that he's getting to do that again finally means like a return to normalcy, hopefully, for a lot of us that we're coming out of this this pandemic. I mean, people are going to shows and events and wrestling, baseball games, everything. So, you know, it's a good sign. And Ben is always, he's a great dude. Just don't necessarily drink if he hands you a beverage. Don't necessarily take it. That's just all I got to say. All right. So let's just reset the where we're at. And we have John D'Amato in the lead with 27, Greg Diener with 24, and Ashley Cruz with 14. So everybody's still in this game. Jordan, we're on to round three, though. Yeah. What's our round three?
So round three has been pretty fun in the semifinals. This is an idea we cooked up where we reached out to each semifinalist and asked them if you could have one wheelhouse topic where you could just rock it. Which one would you pick? And we let you guys pick your questions. So everybody's got their own wheelhouse. The only caveats were that it couldn't be a previous episode. So say you won the Seinfeld episode, you couldn't pick Seinfeld. So you have to pick something that we haven't really done a category on before. So the wildcard wheelhouse, we've got Greg, Ashley, and Johnny's specific wheelhouse categories. I feel like this one has been a make or break for the first two semifinalists.
Yeah, it has. So, I'll see how it goes.
Yeah. So I believe we got Greg going first.
Yeah.
And Greg, your wheelhouse is the Back to the Future trilogy.
Yes.
All right, cool. I recently watched all three of those, maybe around February, March on Netflix. I think they're all still available if anybody wants to go ahead and watch. But you know the drill. 90 seconds on the clock. Mr. Cook, do you have that clock ready to go?
Good luck, Greg. We're ready to go.
Greg, you good?
Yes.
All right. First question is this. What is the name of Doc Brown's dog?
Einstein.
How much electricity is needed to get Marty back to the future?
1.21 gigawatts.
What name does Marty go by in the Old West in Back to the Future 3?
Clint Eastwood.
What song is the band playing when Marty begins to fade away in the first movie?
Earth Angel.
Who are the three Tannen villains in the trilogy?
Buford, Mad Dog Tannen, Biff Tannen, and Griff Tannen.
Who did the Chicago Cubs beat in the World Series in 2015?
The Miami Gators.
What future famous actor made a cameo role in Back to the Future 2 watching Marty play
Elijah
at the arcade?
Wood.
What does Doc Brown name his two sons?
Jules and Vern.
What is the name of the casino that Biff owns?
Biff Tannen's Pleasure Casino.
What are the names of the rest of Biff's original gang?
Oh, jeez. Biff's gang.
30 seconds.
3D, I know, is one of the names. Skinhead and Match, I think, is the last one.
All right. That's all of them.
Yep.
Clock and step up.
All right. Very good. So
the wheelhouse pays off again, Andy.
It does. It does. So let's run through them. Einstein is Doc Brown's dog. We talked about this pre-show. If you had said Copernicus, technically that was a right answer as well. You need 1.21 gigawatts to go back to the future. Marty goes by Clint Eastwood in the Old West in Back to the Future 3. Earth Angel is playing when Marty begins to fade away in the first movie. Biff, Mad Dog, Buford, and Griff are the three Tannen villains in the trilogy. The Miami team, or the Miami Gators, that is the team that the Cubs beat in 2015. Elijah Wood is the famous future actor. He made a cameo in Back to the Future 2. Should have asked, what game was he playing? Would you have gotten that right?
Wild Gunman.
That's right. That was a fun game to play.
Sure would have.
All right. And Doc Brown names his son Jules and Vern. This one, you got almost right. You said it was Biff Tannen's Pleasure Casino.
Alice.
The name of the... It's the Biff Tannen's Pleasure Paradise.
Oh, okay.
So since it was a hard question, we could not give it to you. Yeah. But you pulled this one out. Match, 3D, and Skinhead are the names of Biff's gang in the original movie for a total of 29 points. Great. Nearly a perfect round. So very good job. Okay.
All right. Good score. Ashley is up next. Ashley, are you ready to go?
I am ready.
All right, Ashley, your wheelhouse that you chose was not just James Bond, but a little more specific, Sean Connery James Bond films. So your wheelhouse is ready to go. Do we have 90 seconds on the clock?
All set. Good luck, Ashley.
All right. Question. Clock starts when I finish this question. What was the name of the Bond girl in Goldfinger?
Pussy Galore.
In Thunderball, Domino's clothes are always what colors?
Pass.
What was the name of Largo's boat in Thunderball?
Was the Disco Volante.
Who was the wrestler that Bond fought in Osato's office in You Only Live Twice?
Pass.
What was the name of Goldfinger's plan to irradiate Fort Knox and make his gold most valuable?
Operation Grand Slam.
What was the name of the song James Bond sings in Dr. No?
Underneath the Mango Tree.
What does SPECTRE stand for?
Special Executive for Counterintelligence, Terrorism, Revenge, and Extortion.
What was the name of the building where James Bond meets Tatiana in From Russia with Love?
Pass.
What submarine was used in You Only Live Twice?
Pass.
Name the woman whose voice was used to dub over the actress of the first four Connery films due to the fact that they couldn't speak English.
Nikki Vanderzeel.
Go back up to Domino's clothes are always what color in Thunderball?
Black and white.
And the wrestler that Bond fought in Osato's office in You Only Live Twice.
Time.
Another solid run, though.
Yeah, very, very good. These were hard, too. And, we have a Bond expert around these parts, and these were approved.
All right.
So you did very good.
All right.
So let's run through them. The name of the Bond girl in Goldfinger was Pussy Galore. You got that one right. Black and white. Those are Domino's clothes are always that color in Thunderball. The Disco Volante is the name of Largo's boat in Thunderball. The Rock's grandfather, the Grand High Chief, Pierre Maivia, was the wrestler that Bond fought in Osato's office and You Only Live Twice. Operation Grand Slam was Goldfinger's plan to irradiate Fort Knox and make his gold the most valuable. Under the Mango Tree was the song that James Bond sang in Dr. No. Special Executive for Counterintelligence, Terrorism, Revenge, and Extortion is what SPECTRE stands for. You got that right. The name of the building where James Bond meets Tatiana in From Russia with Love was the Hagia Sophia. So you got that one correct. The Royal Navy Amphion class submarine HMS Aeneas was the submarine used in Only Live Twice. And you got the very hard, very impressive. Nikki Vanderzeel was a woman whose voice was used to dub over the actresses in the first four Connery films due to the fact that they couldn't speak English for a grand total of 21 points. So Jeff, you're still very much in this game, actually.
All right. All right. And that brings us to Johnny D'Amato. Mr. D'Amato, your wheelhouse was 1980s one-hit wonders.
Señor.
So what we've got for you is I've got the song, you give us the band or the singer.
Alrighty.
All right. We ready with the clock, Mr. Cook?
We are.
All right. And let's start with this one. Take on Me.
Uh-huh.
867-5309.
Tommy Two-Tone.
Come on, Eileen.
Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Party All the Time.
Eddie Murphy.
Rappin' Rodney.
Ronnie Dangerfield.
Respect Yourself.
Bruce Willis.
Break My Stride.
Matthew Wilder.
Mexican Radio.
Wall Voodoo.
Lunatic Fringe.
Red Rider.
Far From Over.
Frank Stallone.
Woo!
Woo! There you go.
That's it. And
it took 40 seconds.
Dang.
You ran the table,
also would have
Johnny.
Accepted Dean Ambrose for Lunatic Fringe.
All right. Well, I guess we do. I don't think we need to run through them since you got them all correct.
Yeah.
You know, Take on Me, of course, Aha. Tommy Two-Tone was 867-5309 Jenny. Come on, Eileen, Dexy's Midnight Runners, Party All the Time, Eddie Murphy, Rappin' Ronnie, Ronnie Dangerfield, Respect Yourself, Bruce Willis, Matthew Wilder was Breaking My Stride, Mexican Radio was Wall of Voodoo, Lunatic Fringe with Red Rider, and Frank Stallone, Far From Over. So, a awesome score of 34.
Have we had a perfect score in a round? I think
we have.
Did
we had Ryan, I believe, on the Seinfeld show.
Yep. Ryan, of course.
That was episode one.
Yeah, and Callum in the Friends episode and Robert Hawkins on the last episode.
Oh yeah, the universe
33s.
Yeah. Not only did he get a perfect score, he corrected some of the things we had wrong.
All right, so going into the final round, John D'Amato with 61, Greg Diener with 53, and Ashley with 35. So everybody is alive and in this game. So obviously Ashley will go first, Greg will go second, and Johnny will go last in the final round. But before we get there, let's talk about what's going on some other great podcast feeds over around these parts in the Quantapod, like we like to call it. Jennifer Smith, she's always in the Jenny position with her unique takes on pop culture and life. Her feed is loaded with great shows ranging from movies and books, Marvel, and more. If you're interested in doing a pop culture podcast, Jenny's also looking to talk to you. Reach out to her on Twitter at the Jenny Position to learn more. Some of the great shows over there, though, are Talk and Pop, The Journey Through Infinity, Bianca's First Time, Geek and Sassy. Lots of great shows over there. JT, Aaron, and Chad have great shows on the North-South Connection podcast feed. They do the histories of WWE, TNA, and great wrestling topics, takes, and more. Johnny is a co-host over there with Jenny and Justin on the East Extreme Three-Way Dance, your wrestling war zone. You have Jordan, your show, Rank and Files on there. You're in the middle of your greatest theme song tournament. What's going on?
Two down, three to go. We finished the 80s and 90s. That one is out. And the next episode is 2000s to the present day. That will come at the end of the month of June. And then in July, we've got the greatest cartoon themes. And then in August, we're going to take the winners and a couple, not necessarily runner-ups, but one other representative from each category, and have them fight it out to declare the ultimate TV theme song.
Awesome. Check in. I really have enjoyed those shows. I got a long drive coming up very soon, so I'm going to be all caught up by the time.
Please don't drive off the road in anger.
Oh, in anger. In anger. What? Why? How did they play that? No. It's been a lot of fun listening. It's very interesting. With the age differences on people's perspectives.
Yeah, my two co-hosts are, I'm 41, and I didn't think the age gap would be that telling, but it has been. They're both in their mid to late 20s, and in the 80s and 90s one, you could definitely tell who voted 80s, who voted 90s.
All right. It's a fun ride, though. So everybody check that out over on the North-South Connection podcast. Feed, lots of great shows. There's Justin just debuted a Beverly Hills 90210 pod, so check that out. Glenn and Scott Butler, our good friends, are continuing their spectacular journey through music, films, and more on the Non-Toxic Fanboys podcast, where they try to enjoy the things they love. Find them at Non-Toxic Fanboys on Twitter, nontoxicfanboys.com, and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Join our Rejuvenated Place to Be discussion group on Facebook. Go to Facebook, look up Place to Be, and request an invite. Discussions, fun, and movies, wrestling, tournaments. All forms of pop culture is discussed all the time. Our 2021 stretch project, determining the greatest NWA WCW wrestler of all time. Go to Facebook.com/GWCW and join the group to discuss nominees. Be sure to check out PlaceNation.com each and every day, where we have new voices, fresh takes on articles on topics of the world of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including This Week in WWE with Trent, Paulie's Perspective, Matt's live Disney live-action journey, and Steve's animated Disney countdown articles. Also, if you're doing online shopping for Amazon, be sure to click on the banner on the right side of the PlaceNation homepage, or use PlaceNation.com/Amazon. It takes you right to Amazon, helps out PTBN with no cost to you. Prime Day is coming up, so you guys might want to go on there. Go to PlaceNation.com first, go to Amazon. There you go. So, Andy, all comes out. Yes.
I have a question for you. I meant to ask when you're doing the last read. So you just did the Jungle Book on your Disney podcast. When you get there, I know there's a ways off. Are you guys going to be doing Pixar movies?
We will decide that once we finish the Disney animated classics.
Gotcha. Okay.
So cool. I would love to do that. So we'll see. But being as there is a 9-hour time difference right now between my co-hosts.
Got it.
you know, we got one in Arizona and one in Slovakia. So I'm not in the middle necessarily, but it's scheduling is not easy, but we make it work because it's one of my favorite things in all world is Disney and especially animated movies. And, Miranda, my better half when it comes to podcasting, and Steve has been great, his first regular podcast. So it's worth the scheduling difficulties to get it done, but look forward to doing it every time.
That's fun. So, one last announcement before we get our lightning round. Guys, my French fries have arrived.
Awesome.
Sweet.
All right. Hopefully you got some nice dipping sauce or you just go on ketchup.
I don't even have sauce, just salt. Oh.
Well, luckily I read the questions for the last round.
So, yep, I'm going to mute and chew my food now.
There you go. All right, so we are in the lightning round. This is just general pop culture. You don't know exactly what topics you are going to get. And we do go from lowest score to highest score in order, like we said. So, Ashley, you are first up. You need to do a very good showing here to stay in the game, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Mike, are you ready with 90 seconds on the clock?
We're good.
All right, Ashley, are you ready?
Yes.
Here we go. In Risky Business, what song did Tom Cruise lip sync to while dancing in his underwear?
Old Town Rock and Roll.
What is the longest running game show on network television?
The Price is Right.
Who wrote the screenplay for Rocky?
Sylvester Stallone.
What character did Mark Hamill play in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back?
Cockknocker.
Who told Mary Richards she had spunk?
Pass.
On Brooklyn Nine-Nine, what is the name of Captain Holt's dog?
Pass.
What 1970 movie marked the feature debut of Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Pumping Iron.
In The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, what song does Carlton do his famous dance to?
Pass.
What was the opening act at Woodstock?
Pass.
Name the actors who played Dennis Franz's Andy Sipowicz, the character, who were his partners. Who his partners on NYPD Blue?
Pass.
All right, back to who told Mary Richards she had spunk?
Pass.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine was the name of Captain Holt's dog.
George.
In The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, what song does Carlton do his famous dance to?
Pass.
Opening act at Woodstock.
Richie Havens.
Actors who played Sipowicz's partner on NYPD Blue.
Some ginger.
Time.
Well, that was kind of right for the one of them, but yeah. Yep. All right.
I mean, not a bad showing. Yeah. By the way, I can finish a medium French fry in 90 seconds. Good to know. let's talk about how you did, though, Ashley. In Risky Business, Tom Cruise does, in fact, lip-sync to old-time rock and roll. The longest-running game show on network television is The Price is Right. Sylvester Stallone did write the screenplay for Rocky. This one, Mark Hamill played the role of Cockknocker in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. So you got all four right there. Then you hit a little bit of a roadblock. Mary Richards was told she had spunk by Lou Grant.
He hates spunk.
Yep. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, the name of Captain Holt's dog is Cheddar. I'm a fan of that show, but I would not have got this one right. The 1970 movie that marked the feature debut of Arnold Schwarzenegger, I would have guessed the same thing you did. You said Pumping Iron. It's actually Hercules in New York was his first feature film. In The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the song Carlton does his dance to, it's not unusual to be loved by anyone, by Tom Jones. The opening act at Woodstock was Sweetwater, and the actors who played Sipowicz's partners on NYPD Blue was David Caruso originally, Jimmy Smits, Ricky Schroeder, and then Zach Morris himself, Mark Paul Gosselaar. So Zach, not enough points to put you in the lead, but I think you can walk out with your head up. I think it was a pretty fair showing tonight.
Yeah, we gave you a total of 41 points. You did win an episode to make it this far. So, Ashley, we thank you for being here, and you did a great job. So, Greg, you are up, my friend.
Yeah, I just want to point out Zach Morris is trash. So,
I watched one episode of the new one. I think his son is even worse.
Oh, he is.
All right, so you are down by 8 points.
Okay.
So you need at least 8 to tie, 9 to take the lead on, and make Johnny answer at least one question right when he goes. All right, Greg, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Cook, 90 seconds on the clock.
Ready to go.
Here we go. In The Matrix, does Neo take the blue pill or the red pill?
Pass.
In Modern Family, what country is Gloria originally from?
Pass.
What was Johnny Chase's nickname on Entourage?
Johnny Drama.
Who took over the role of Bruce Wayne's love interest, Rachel Dawes, in The Dark Knight, following
Maggie Gyllenhaal?
Which Jersey Shore star served 8 months in prison for tax evasion?
Pass.
What was the name of the resident con artist on Cheers?
Oh, pass.
Well, Nobody's Perfect is the final line and punchline from what classic 1959 comedy starring Marilyn Monroe?
Some Like It Hot.
Who won the second season of American Idol?
Ruben Studdard.
30 seconds.
Which TV cartoon featured Master Shake, Frylock, and Meatwad?
I've seen Hunger Force.
What are the nicknames of the original members of the band Kiss? In The Matrix, does Neo take the pill? All right. In Modern Family, which country is Gloria originally from? Giant Chase's nickname. Oh, you got that one. Sorry. Which Jersey Shore star served 8 months for
Texas?
What was the name of the resident con artist on Cheers?
Harry the Hat.
And nicknames of the original members of the band Kiss.
Time.
All right.
All right. Enough points to keep the pressure on Mr. D'Amato there. Let's talk about how you did. 50-50 choice on your first one. Does Neil take the blue pill or the red pill? He takes the red pill, actually. In Modern Family, Gloria is from Colombia. Got the first two wrong, but then he went on a nice little run here. Johnny Chase's nickname on Entourage is Johnny Drama. Maggie Gyllenhaal does take over the role of Rachel Dawes, replacing Katie Holmes in The Dark Knight. Justin Rosero is listening. He would have been furious with you for getting this one wrong, but it was correct. The Situation, the Jersey Shore star who served 8 months in prison for tax evasion. Name of the resident con artist on Cheers is Harry the Hat. Played by, what's his name from Night Court?
Harry Anderson. I had to get that one right or my co-host Mike would kill me because he loves Night Court.
Well, Nobody's Perfect is the final line and punchline from what 1959 comedy starring Marilyn Monroe? Some Like It Hot. Got that one right. Second season of American Idol was won by Ruben Studdard, runner-up Clay Aiken. And Master Shake, Frylock, and Meatwad do make up the Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Didn't get the time to make a guess on the very hard one, but the nicknames of the original members of the band Kiss are the Demon, the Starman, the Spaceman, and the Catman.
Well, my answer would have been Cheer.
We could have used Aqua Teen Hunger Force in our first game, actually. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I stole that from you, Jordan. But 25 points. Very good showing. Run. All right. That puts you at 78. So, Johnny, you need 17 points to tie, 18 to win.
It's doable.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have faith. Are you ready, Mr. D'Amato?
Shoot.
All right, Mr. Cook, are you ready with 90 seconds?
Yes, we are.
All right. The clock will start when I finish the first question. Who voiced the sultry Jessica Rabbit in Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Kathleen Turner.
What is the name of the chain of burger restaurants owned by Mark Wahlberg and his brothers Donnie and Paul?
Wahlburgers.
What show involves Cylons as evil robots?
Yes.
In Apocalypse Now, Robert Duvall says, I love the smell of blank in the morning.
Napalm.
What A-list actor co-founded the multi-million dollar tequila brand Casamigos?
Oh, pass.
On 30 Rock, who did Liz Lemon dress up as to try to get out of jury duty? Excuse me.
Pass.
What Jamiroquai song does Napoleon dance to at the end of Napoleon Dynamite?
Piss.
What is Chef's full name on South Park?
Piss.
Who was the first guest on Late Night with David Letterman in 1982?
Bill Murray.
30 seconds.
Name four shows that were spinoffs of Happy Days.
Four?
Yeah, four.
Laverne and Shirley, Joni Loves Chachi, Mork and Mindy, Mr. T and Tina.
All right. What show
is involved... Casamigos is George Clooney.
Okay. What show involves Cylons as evil robots?
Pass.
Who did Liz Lemon dress up as to get out of jury duty?
Madonna.
What's your American song? Okay.
Son of a damn.
All right. We got to add these up here and see what happened. We'll let you know when we get to the end of it. All right. Jordan. Are you still eating fries?
I was muted and I've been talking the whole time. I apologize. I said, this is close, but let's go over what he got right. Kathleen Turner did, in fact, voice Jessica Rabbit. Got that one right. Wahlburgers is the chain of burger restaurants owned by Mark, Donnie, and Paul Wahlberg. The Cylons are evil robots on Battlestar Galactica. Yeah. In Apocalypse Now, Robert Duvall says, I love the smell of napalm in the morning. Got that one right. Came back to this one. Casamigos is George Clooney's tequila brand. Liz Lemon and 30 Rock dressed up like Princess Leia to get out of jury duty. the Jamiroquai song that Napoleon danced to at the end of Napoleon Dynamite is called Canned Heat. Chef's full name on South Park is Jerome McElroy Jr. You got this one right. The first guest on Late Night with David Letterman was Bill Murray, and this one was close. Four shows were spinoffs of Happy Days. You gave us Laverne and Shirley, Joni Loves Chachi, Mork and Mindy. The other ones were Blonsky Beauties and Out of the Blue.
My lawyer will be in touch with you because Mr. T and Tina starred Pat Morita, who left Happy Days. It wasn't a spinoff, though. So, okay. But I might get that on a technicality. My lawyer will be in touch with you.
Don't worry, John. Don't worry, John. We'll cover it on our show one day.
Well, it's all good. It's all good.
Google tells us it was a spinoff, but it was a spinoff of Welcome Back, Kotter. Believe it or not.
Don't know Mr. TNT in that, for real?
Yeah.
No, that's wrong. No, seriously, Pat Morita left Happy Days for it, but he didn't play Arnold, though. So.
Yeah, so...
I'm just kidding. Nah, it's all
good. Weird that it says that it's a spinoff of Welcome Back, Kotter, though. I don't know why.
Yeah, what was that, Wiki or Google?
That's Wiki. I Googled it, and it all brought up... Yeah.
Well, as I always say on my show, it's truth by consensus Wikipedia.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
unfortunately, you got 13 points. With
it's all good. Good job, Greg.
Yeah!
4 points short. Congrats. With 78 points, Greg Diener, you are a finalist for Pop Culture.
That might be one of our closest ones. Yeah
this was a tremendous game. Everybody,
gave a respectable finish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so, you know, we had 2 out of 3 chances of somebody from Long Island making it to the finals.
we got there. Couldn't happen to a better guy.
Yes. And
I had to overcome these Island of Fuck fans screaming their asses off.
Oh, don't get me started, John. At least they beat the Bruins.
Yeah. All right. So, Greg, we will see you back in 3 weeks.
Congrats, Greg.
We will be taping at the end of the month. And the finals will drop on Saturday. I believe it's the 2nd of July. So that will be Greg facing off against Mr. Trivia himself from the wrestling, from Body Press Your Luck, and also the first game here, Mr. Ryan Everett, and also Robert Hawkins from our last set. So we have a great matchup ahead of us, guys. And thank you to Ashley and John. You guys did great and, you know, won episodes. So very respectable. And we hope you, if we do season 2, you come back.
Yep. Thanks. Perfect. I'd love it. Good luck, Greg.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck.
All right. So with that being said, Jordan, mm-hmm. do you have anything in closing to say?
You know, I'm actually pretty excited. I think it's a pretty fun finals matchup because, I mean, Ryan obviously has pretty much never lost a trivia episode that he's been on. But his semifinal match, he needed some help at the end there to kind of sneak a win. Greg put on the pressure tonight. That might not happen against Ryan, or Ryan might not get that help that he needs. And then, you know, our last semifinalist just crushed it near the end there to get the win with Robert. So... I think it's anybody's game. Should be fun.
Yeah, there will be no wild card wheelhouse though in the final. The finals will be. we'll see what we do when we get to the finals. But yeah, I wish all three of them the best of luck, and mm-hmm. I just hope we have a great game. And
I think we will.
And I'll be very happy to award a belt. Two of them are driving distance, so I could avoid shipping and get a cool photo op. With two of the guys, but seriously though, I'll mention, I'll go into a little deeper when we get to the end of the final show for the season, but I want to thank everybody though, everybody who's listened, especially though, everybody who's come on. Trivia is hard, especially in doing a pod and being put on the spot. We appreciate everybody that's been on the shows, but once again though, congratulations to Greg on being a finalist. Mr. Yep. Cook, thank you very much. Once again, we're glad that you didn't get lost or something or you know, pass out or on us tonight. Thank you for being here and being the voice of reason.
Yep.
And Jordan, thank you as always. And we'll check you out in 3 weeks with the finals. We're going to give away a belt, finally. 6 months later after we started this great show, we'll have a crown champion on our next episode.
I've gone up two belt sizes the last 6 months.
I'm not going to say what I've done, but let's just say I've moved up from the light heavyweight division. All right, for Michael Cook and Jordan Duncan and our contestants, Jerry Cino D'Amato, Ashley Cruz, and Greg Diener, I'm Andy Atherton. Thank you for listening to PTBN Trivia Night. See you in the finals. Take care.
Bring it home, Greg.
I want the bins.